Welcome to Marilyn Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
You meet Dr. Cherie Moore and welcome her to my show today. First, we have the phone numbers that you can call in with to have any questions about domestic violence, which is our topic today. In Pierce County, please call 253-584-1480, 253-584-1480. And in King County, you can call toll-free. Don't even dial a 1. Just pick up your phone and call 253-804-5765. 253-804-5765. We are so glad that we are having you listening today, and we want to encourage you to enjoy the services of those people that are sponsoring this program. Crystal Voyage and Frayne House Square in Tacoma has many of your metaphysical needs, and you will enjoy going to her shop. Olalla Recovery Center in Olalla, Washington helps those that are in recovery for addictions, and is a wonderful place and opportunity for those that needing that help. So be sure and give them a call. We'll have their number in a minute. Evelyn Mulvey of Partners Counseling is a place to go for your problems and solutions with counseling needs. Be sure and contact her for your help. And the Healing Tree in Auburn is an alternative wellness center and metaphysical retail shop new to sponsoring us. They're located in Auburn. Go check them out. You'll be surprised. Now I'd like to introduce Dr. Cherie Moore with some information about her. She has a PhD, a CDVC-4, and a diplomat and a Christian therapist. Her doctorate is in psychology. She has a master's in Christian psychological counseling and a Bachelor of Science degree in political science. She's been married for 20 years to Pastor Keith Joseph Moore, and in addition, she's the mother of two teenage sons, Keith and Corey. Cherie is a Christian Black American Indian woman who is culturally aware of the many diverse people that might need guidance in solving problems. She is multilingual and speaks 3 languages. She is ethnic sensitive. Her counseling experience spans 8 years in a variety of settings: churches, clinics, schools, private practice, and a psychiatric hospital. She has worked with people carrying a variety of diagnoses, including schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, major depression, dementia, eating disorders, personality disorders, mood disorders, ADD, also called attention deficit disorders, sexual, physical, and emotional abuse, PTSD, which stands for post-traumatic stress disorder, anger management, guilt, grief, self-image, and self-esteem disorders, as well as those experiencing adjustment, relationship, or marital difficulties. Dr. Moore has designed, coordinated, and implemented programs addressing psychosocial rehabilitation, support groups, Christian marriage counseling and development, and positive teen intervention groups. She has also provided assessments in the following areas of neuropsychology, behavioral health, forensics, personality, cognitive, intellectual, ability achievement, and learning assessments. And lastly, Dr. Moore has special interests and expertise in the area of forensics, assessments, and counseling, adolescence behavior disorders, sexual deviance and disorders, pain management, and marriage therapy. Dr. Moore has certifications in domestic violence and youthful offending, as well as certifications as a diplomat of clinical forensics counseling. She's available for lectures. She's currently doing a talk radio tour across the United States, and she has authored 17 booklets and 3 books. We're so really honored to have you with us today, Dr. Moore.
Well, thank you so much, Marilyn, for having me to be a part of your show.
Well, you seem to be very well qualified. How could you get all that into your one life?
You know, God does whatever he feels like doing with whomever he chooses.
Isn't that the truth? Well, when we're going to be talking about domestic, excuse me just a minute, domestic violence today, and I'd like you to explain to our audience what you determine and how you maybe define domestic violence.
Okay. Well, domestic violence is a pattern of coercive behavior that may include any number of the following: physical, sexual, economical, emotional, and psychological abuse of a family member or romantic partner by another person. I think that encompasses everything.
I think it does. It's a very full definition. What does an abusive relation look like?
Well, in an abusive relationship, you can experience one or a combination of the following. You're being withheld approval, appreciation, or affection as punishment. Sometimes you're ignored, your feelings are ignored, you're manipulated with, you're lied to. The person has been very jealous. They harass you about imagined affairs, possibly. You're continuously criticized. Some people get name-called or they shout at you. They're humiliating you in public or in private. They insult or drive away your friends or family. They take away keys, car keys, house keys, and money from you. They throw objects at you. They subject you to reckless driving when they're trying to have a discussion and you're not quite seeing it their way. They abuse pets to hurt you. They punch, shove, slap, bite, kick, choke, or hit you in any manner whatsoever. You're raped or you're subjected to other violent or non-consensual sexual acts. And sometimes they may even threaten to commit suicide if you leave.
Well, I can relate with quite a few of those things. I have been there myself, and I think that you covered it very, very well.
Thanks.
I was very interested one night while I was watching Larry King's program, and Carol Channing came on at the end of the program and admitted that she had been a battered and abused wife.
Mm.
At that point in time, she was 72 years old and had discovered that her husband had taken all their money, all her money from Broadway shows and her other activities of earning, and it was all in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And this battering had gone on for years, and someone said, well, he was always right there with you, and you looked like this wonderful couple. And she said, that's so I couldn't speak up and spill the beans.
That's right. And a lot of times, you know, the abuser will try to keep you quiet by any means necessary. And it's so important that you have some type of support group to tell. A family member, a friend, a coworker, someone that you can confide in. Because when it gets right down to it, you're going to need someone else's say that, yes, I knew about this, if it ever gets down to, well, you're wanting to get away from this person.
Well, that's very good advice. I think that so often people in this situation are isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if I just got on the phone with somebody, even from where I worked or something, daggers came at me. And like, don't you dare say anything you're not supposed to say.
That's right. They're constantly threatening, and the threats may not even appear to be threats at the time. They're telling you what their preference is. Don't tell, because then you'll look bad, and then I'll look bad, and then we'll all look bad. And you don't want that to happen. And they try and layer the abuse, because they always want to keep you quiet.
Well, part of the problem in my situation was that I was raised in that kind of environment, and that felt familiar.
Mm-hmm. And so people are very, very familiar, and they get used to being treated that way, and they don't realize that this is not how everyone does it. This is not what's going on in everyone's family.
Well, my eyes were very much opened when I ended up in a battered women's shelter classes. And they were giving these different kinds of information that you're sharing with us today. And all of a sudden, I saw myself on the paper, and I was in such denial. I had not even realized that's what that was going on.
Yeah, so many women, and men, believe it or not, are abused and they feel like they can't share this information with anyone. And then when they actually see it or they're confronted by it, they're like, oh no, they didn't mean to do that, or they didn't quite do it in that way or manner, and it was just an accident. Or they're so willing to say, no, it's not happening that way, and blinders are on, and it's just a mess.
Who are the usual victims, Dr. Moore?
The victims, let's see. Victims come in all sizes, shapes, ages, races, religions and cultures, educational backgrounds or employment situations. Men, women, children, persons of color, people who have been physically or mentally challenged, the elderly, people from other countries, people that are just still in their teenage years. Victims are can be anyone. It's really no way to pinpoint who the actual victim is unless the person speaks out.
Well, I think that's true. I did find out later, though, behavior is a great way for people to be able to spot you.
Yes.
There is a certain stance that goes with being a victim.
True.
And there are also certain vibrations that they pick up on.
True.
And so they kind of have this sonic beam that they can spot you a mile away.
Yeah.
I want to remind my listeners that to please call in with your questions about domestic violence today, and Dr. Moore will be glad to help you as best she can. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. And toll-free in King County, 253-804-5765. Our lines are open, and please welcome this opportunity to get your questions answered. And stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages. Thank you. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We are having this wonderful conversation with Dr. Cherie Moore today, who works in domestic violence, and she's answering these questions that maybe some people have not had a chance to have the opportunity to explore before, and we're just hearing some really interesting information from her. This next question, Cherie, is what does a typical abuser look like, and what would the behavior be?
Well, let's see. The typical abuser is kind of a myth. In public, they may appear friendly and loving to their partner or family, and they often only abuse people behind closed doors. They try to hide abuse by causing injury that can be hidden so that, you know, you don't really need a doctor. So they're constantly in the lying kind of business. Abuse is not an accident. It doesn't happen when someone was stressed out or drinking or using drugs. Abuse is an intentional act that I want people to know that one person uses to control the relationship of the other. And abusers are not easy to spot because one person may look like they're fine. They may even be in your church. They can be the girl next door or the boy down the street. You don't really know what goes on behind closed doors unless you're that person that they're victimizing or abusing.
Well, I definitely agree with that. I know that my ex-husband was a very charming person to everybody else. Wondered why he couldn't be like that at home.
Because he had a problem.
Well, I also noticed, have come to the understanding that the charm covers up what's underneath.
Yes.
And you
have to
look
at that.
Yeah.
True. Because a lot of abusers have just, you know, tremendously low self-esteem. They don't take responsibility for their actions, and they may even blame the victim for causing the violence. You know, it's your fault we got into this argument, so I had to teach you a lesson. I didn't want to really do this to you, but you made me, you forced me, you pushed me, and you didn't do anything to cause this abuse. It's important to remember that women can also be the abusers and men can be the victims. I see a great many men that are victims these days because women are somehow more bolder in what they're trying to do, and they let their anger show and it gets away from them.
I'm glad you brought up the word anger. I know today that the anger my ex had for his mother was taken out on me.
Yeah, and a lot of it stems from people in your history that were abusers, because, you know, this is a disease. It's something that, yes, can be stopped and cured, but if you look at it as a diseased mindset, you'll be able to understand that until that person gets help, it doesn't stop. It actually gets layered. And you can actually see this by the types of behavior that the person exhibits. You know, they hit, they slap, they punch, they kick, and then they isolate. They isolate you from your friends. Emotional abuse, telling you can't do certain things because you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough, you're not worth it. Economical abuse, they take money from you, they hide it from you, they lie to you. The sexual abuse, it runs the gamut of being raped to sodomized. And if you're, even if you're married, and you're not wanting to have relations that night, there's no law that says you're supposed to. You could be tired. You could not feel good. And no one is supposed to put you in that kind of position. And then there are the threats, and the threats can come in all shapes and sizes. Intimidation, making sure that you know that they can do something to you at a moment's notice, or they use their male privilege by showing you that, well, they're stronger and they're better and they're this and they're that, and they will keep you down and keep you quiet.
I'm so glad that you said it was a disease. The American Medical Association has stated it is a disease, part of the disease of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this situation as codependency at its worst form.
Yes.
And in my experience, I've discovered that even though I was a long, long time church member and participant in activities at the church, I still came home and got beat up.
That's right.
It had nothing to do with if you're a good church person or not, I discovered.
No, it doesn't. Nothing at all.
But I did also find out that inside of me, I was absolutely separated from the Spirit. And also, in domestic violence, I discovered my soul had been obliterated so that I didn't have who I was to deal with. I didn't know who I was.
Yeah, and you're kind of lost out there, like in a crossroads. You don't know which way to turn, who to actually trust, because your trust level is almost diminished. Here it is, this person that claims they love you, and that's why they treat you this way. And then on the other hand, you know this doesn't feel good, and it hurts, and you don't feel good about being around people because, well, what will they think? And we're constantly worried about what others will think about us.
We want to remind our listeners that this is their opportunity to call in with questions about domestic violence. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. And toll-free King County, 253-804-5765. And I really like the things that you're saying today, because through my experience, what you have to say is very much what I've discovered in my own personal experience. And I did happen to find 12-step programs were a wonderful way to get, you mentioned earlier, support programs, people that are there to listen and you can talk with.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the 12-step programs that work in this area are Adult Children of Alcoholics, also known as Adult Children. Also, I found other programs like CODA and Al-Anon, especially if there's alcohol involved. And in many times alcohol can be involved. It might not be the main focus from where the abuse is coming from, and the person might have other, in my case, other problems going on besides the alcohol.
Yeah.
And so, but learning how to deal with that condition and that situation by going to a 12-step program, I learned how to focus on myself and take care of myself and actually grow myself up.
You know, and some 12-step programs are really great because they separate the actual problem from the situation. And, you know, I really want to just stress that alcohol, drug abuse, stress, and mental illness does not cause domestic violence. But they are a result, sometimes, of the violence. It doesn't happen when they drink too much or they're too stressed out or they're just not well mentally. This happens because it's a disease all by itself, and those other things could be factors that cause it to get worse, but they're definitely not the primary root cause of the domestic violence.
It's interesting to know that the groups that seem to work very well in helping those people with support are spiritually oriented programs.
Yes. You know, as a Christian therapist myself, you know, without the help of the Holy Spirit that resides in me and God, my dad, and, you know, Jesus Christ, the person that stands in the gap for me, you know, all three, they help and they make sure that you're doing what it is that you're supposed to do, and they get you through when times are rough.
Well, I have found the spiritual aspects to be very important. When my husband would come after me, I found out through experience, I shared this with you a little bit on the phone yesterday, is that when I prayed for that person,
mm-hmm.
I was sending out love instead of attack.
That's right.
And as a child, in my self-defense mechanisms, that's all I knew, is to try to protect myself from, my childhood was also violent. And to the only protection I had was childish ways to deal with it. And what I've discovered is that the programs allowed me to find more adult, mature ways to handle life, and to do it with the love of an unconditional of a Heavenly Father was absolutely essential, because I never even had what you might call a father on earth. I always wanted one.
Yeah.
And looking for love in all the wrong places is what got me into this situation.
And, you know, it's really great that you mentioned the children aspect of this. You know, most children in homes know about the violence that their parents endure, and they don't know what to do. Often they don't know how it's happening, and they feel helpless and scared and upset, and they're affected by this violence too. They live with scary noises and yelling and hitting, and they're afraid for their parents and themselves, because they feel bad, because they have, you know, they're just a kid, and they can't do anything to stop it. And they oftentimes don't receive the help that they're needing. And then when they grow into the adult, they gravitate toward unhealthy relationships, because in the back of their mind, well, yeah, mommy and daddy did this, and that's what mommy and daddy do.
I'd like to take that topic back up when we can return on the air after these messages. Stay tuned. Thank you. Solutions. We are talking today with Dr. Cherie Moore. Before we get back with our wonderful conversation and information she's sharing with me and all our listeners, I want to let everybody know that in coming weeks we will have Kimberly Clark Sharp of Seattle, author of After the Light, The Spiritual Path to Purpose. She founded the IONS group in Seattle, which supports near-death experiences, and she will share her near-death experience coming up in March 13th. Ned Doherty, rather, author of Fast Lane to Heaven, has a wonderful story to tell on March 20th. He foretold the 9/11 event on the Twin Towers before it happened. The book came out early that spring before September 11th, and he had that prophecy in there. Following that program, we have Meredith Ann Puryear from Virginia Beach, who has authored a book on prayer and meditation. She works on the staff of the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which is an Edgar Cayce program in Virginia Beach, and has a wonderful, lots of wonderful information for prayer and meditation. I want to encourage people, if you are listening, and enjoying the sponsors that do provide this program, to let them know you've heard us on the air. When you go into Crystal Voyage, or if you call Olala Recovery Center, Evelyn Mulvey, or the Healing Tree, say, yes, I heard your advertisements, and we were really pleased with the program. Let them know that you appreciate it. We will like you to do that. I want to also let people know the phone numbers for you. We have phone lines available. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. And King County, toll-free, 253-804-5765. We're talking with Dr. Cherie Moore again, and she was talking about domestic violence today. That's our topic. And we want to find out what people can do to be safe in this environment, Cherie.
Okay. Well, if you feel that you're in danger from your abuser at any time, call 911. Talk to your local police. If you're in danger when the police come, they can protect you. They can help you or your children leave your home safely. They can arrest the abuser and issue, if you already had gotten a personal protection order, which is very, very important. It's something that I would suggest that if you feel abused, even just slightly emotionally abused, if you're wanting to make sure that it doesn't go any further, just to protect yourself down the line, get a protection order against the person. Because it's important that you have a historical trail of reports of abuse, because that will help you make sure that you can stay safe. Get support from your friends and family. Tell people who are sympathetic to your situation and really love you. Don't just tell anyone because you need someone to talk to. Go to a person that can truly listen and comfort you. Find a safe place. If your home isn't safe at the time, go to a friend's house. Go to a hospital. Talk to one of the doctors or nurses on staff. Tell them about the situation. Explain to them what's going on. There's usually a safe haven in your area that I'm sure will handle abusive situations. And if you've been hurt, go to the hospital immediately. Get help, because you may not realize it, but small things can usually turn into bigger things, especially if you've had an injury to the head, an abdominal injury, a back injury. Those are three places that hurts really don't show up as clearly. You may have a concussion and not truly know that you have a concussion. You may just feel dizzy or nauseous, or you just don't feel good because you've been through an abusive situation.
I think those are all good, wonderful pieces of information for anybody out there. One of the things I found was I had to have an extra set of keys hidden because he would take my keys, so I couldn't leave. I had to have extra money hidden away, so if I ran out of gas, if I was going somewhere and the tank was low, I would be able to complete getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a suitcase in the trunk packed for emergencies, and it turned out I'd always take it out of the trunk when I thought things were getting better, but as you said, it gets worse.
Yeah.
It's a chronic progressive disease, and I didn't realize that just because there was a little honeymoon period going on, that it was going to reoccur again. I had this hope that it wouldn't reoccur, and it was not realistic.
Yeah, there is a definite cycle of violence. You know, first there's that tension buildup. There's anger, there's a breakdown of communication, and you may feel that you're walking on eggshells. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, something happens. Either it's a physical abuse, a sexual abuse, or an emotional abuse. And then right after the abuse happens, the makeup process begins. He or she apologizes for what they've done, and they promise they'll never do it again. And sometimes they blame you, the victim, for causing the abuse, and then they sometimes will deny a couple of days later that anything was ever wrong.
Exactly.
And then there's that nice calm. Everything is going well. It feels just like a honeymoon. Promises that are made, they're looking like they're being met. He's taking you out to dinner. He's talking to you nicely. And then all of a sudden, he snaps or she snaps again. And the cycle goes on, and it gets worse.
One of the things that dawned on me at one point was, if he thought I was going somewhere and it felt like abandonment to him, that was a big trigger.
Yes.
I didn't realize how much that was played a factor, not only in him, but in all my staying there was part of my abandonment issues.
You know, a lot of times, if you just go off to go to work a little bit earlier, they may be suspicious. A lot of abusers suffer with suspicion. And a lot of people don't realize that suspicion is a form of anger. Once that person becomes suspicious about your whereabouts and about what you're doing, that anger rises up in them, and it naturally goes toward threatening you. It goes toward withholding information, lying to you, manipulating you, and then there's that trigger that just sends them into pushing, shoving, or sexual abuse, or just name-calling. You know, you're no good, you're worthless, you're not worth my time, and then all of a sudden they're okay again.
One of the things then my situation was, it seemed like I had earplugs on, and I had blinders on to a lot of what was happening. And one day, for whatever reason, I actually heard him threaten to kill me.
Mm.
And I thought, well, I don't have to stay around if he's going to kill me, and I started to take measures. That was one of the first times in my life I did start to take measures. And in staying with my minister, I called my daughter, told her what was going on, and she says, well, Mom, he threatens to kill you all the time.
Yeah.
And I had not ever really heard it, as because of I was so oblivious to all of this. I was in such a turmoil all the time.
You know, and it happens so quickly, and people just, you know, try and listen carefully, but you're so used to hearing certain things from the person that you're with. You don't realize that they're threats.
Exactly. And to follow through that they're actually, there's probably somewhere some truth in what they're telling you, and to believe it.
Yeah, you want to believe it. You want to believe the best in the person you love.
Well, also to believe the threats, though, that they really could happen.
Yes, you should believe these threats, because they could happen. And it's necessary for those threats to come out so that you'll be intimidated by them. Also wanted to mention that, you know, people who you don't know could also be harassing you. Stalking is repeated harassment that makes you feel scared or upset. And a stalker can be someone you know or even a stranger. They can call unwantingly. They can give you gifts and you don't know where they're coming from. They do all kinds of ways in which it can turn into something physical. And stalking is serious, and it is a crime.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Stalking wasn't part of my vocabulary. You also mentioned going to the getting help and whatever. And in back in the 70s, the police, you've mentioned 911, the police wouldn't even touch my situation with a 10-foot pole back in those days. But I do know that when my ex was stalking the house during the divorce, before it and after it, I didn't even realize that's what it was called. I was pretty naive. But I sure did finally learn. He would break into the house even when he wasn't supposed to be there, and those things are against the law.
Yes, they are. If anyone makes you feel uncomfortable at any time or just causes you to feel upset, go with your feeling internally and think that there is something wrong and pay attention to that, because your Holy Spirit is trying to tell you something.
I'm glad you said that, because there were times when I was just too afraid to leave. What would a person do then?
If you're too afraid to leave?
Yes.
It's really hard, because there's so many things that you go through. But, you know, can you take your children, and where do you go? But stay with a friend or a relative. Go over just to talk. Make sure that if you're a woman staying with someone, that they're not a man or male unless they're a relative. Because if you have children within the situation, living with a man that you're not married to can cause you to hurt your chances for getting custody of your children and spousal support. And this could also conflict with the abuser. Go to a battered women's shelter with your children. The staff there can usually get legal and financial help for you, as well as provide counseling and emotional support for your children and yourself. Make sure that if you're in immediate danger and cannot take your children, contact the police so that you can arrange for protective temporary custody. This won't mean that you'll lose your custody, but you just need to make sure that you have a backup. And your partner may also try to kidnap or threaten to harm the children in order to get you to return. Make sure that you're talking to people that you can trust. Call the police. Go outside and call the police. Call the police.
Well, today that is very good advice. They even, in our area, was in the newspaper just this last week, there is a car agency that is providing cars that are very dependable, not necessarily beautiful, for women in this place, because you might not have wheels to get places.
True.
When you're in domestic violence, you might not have access to transportation, and so they are providing cars for people in that spot. Stay tuned and listen to some more of this wonderful, wonderful information, advice, and help from Dr. Moore. We'll be back shortly, and don't go away. Bye-bye. Welcome back. We're talking about domestic violence today, a very serious issue. However, there are solutions and there is hope, and people can grow into wellness and wholeness. Isn't that wonderful? We do not have to stay victims today.
That's right.
And I just really like to get that message out to people. But first, I'd like to encourage people, if you're enjoying this program, you too can sponsor this program. Call KLAY at 253-584-1480. And join our group of sponsors. If you wish to reach me for counseling, intuitive readings, or to make a contribution towards continuing this program, call me at 253-845-4907. I also have videos available for people that are only available through me. My book is on Amazon.com, Roses Have Thorns, which is my spiritual journey through my domestic violence. But my videos are available on Marilyn at AngelicasGifts.com. AngelicasGifts is one word, .com. And the video, one is entitled Spiritual Tools for Healing Domestic Violence, and the other video is called Empowerment. This is really a struggle about power so often. Who has all the cards? And the person needing more power can find ways to not give away that power they really already have. And that's important to know. With your generous donations for this program, you can pick a topic you would like to hear and join whatever topics we've been having, and you might have something that we still have not talked about and are curious about hearing more. So that's your opportunity. Dr. Moore, some people feel counseling is just for crazy people. I found it to be the absolute way to keep treading water before I went down.
Well, counseling is for anyone that has ever had a situation in their life that they felt troubled by. That's pretty much the definition that I can give for what counseling is all about. And in order for you to get through those situations, sometimes it's great to have some wisdom and godly wisdom around you so that the people that you're talking to, make sure that they're the types of people that you're wanting to deal with. Not every counselor is for every person. And if you're a Christian, go and seek a Christian therapist or a Christian counselor. If you're a person that is just wanting some warm advice, talk to someone. Find out how to get in contact with people. If anyone wants to reach me, may I give out my number?
I surely want our listeners to know how to contact you. Thank you.
And it's 1-888-63-CHERI. And if you leave your name and phone number, if I happen not to actually answer the phone, I will call back as soon as I can. And you could reach me online, REI37. At AOL.com.
That's good to know. And I also know that you happen to have a pamphlet you've put together for domestic violence, and people might want to get in touch with you to get that pamphlet.
Yes. If you'd like that pamphlet or a list of the other books or pamphlets or booklets that I've written, please give me a call or just email me at REI37@AOL.com, and I'll gladly send that information out to you.
And her phone number again is 1-888-63-CHERI.
Yes.
And be sure and get in touch with her if you have any more questions that you're not asking on the air.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of times it's kind of embarrassing. Someone might recognize my voice, or my girlfriend might hear me, or he might hear me, or something. So if you need to call us up, anybody, people right there in your area, the sponsors of Maryland Solutions Show, a couple of those are counselors too.
Evelyn Mulvey of Partners Counseling would
yeah.
be glad to have your call at 253-839-3642, or you can always call me at 253-845-4907. There is lots of help out there with people that understand. So you do not have to feel shy or embarrassed. It's something that we just need to work out and talk about and find solutions.
Exactly.
I have found that low self-esteem had a great deal to do with the problem. What do you know about that?
Yes, low self-esteem is a big attack factor. Because your self-esteem, you don't feel that great about you, you're more susceptible to allow things to occur in your life that you normally wouldn't. If someone is constantly telling you that you're no good, you're worthless, you're a piece of trash or whatever, then those words hurt. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, yeah, they hurt me too. And a lot of times our self-esteem, it plays a great deal in how we treat ourselves and how we look to be treated. Some people may think that because they're being abused, they deserve it. No one ever deserves hurt like this. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, no one ever deserves to be abused.
I agree wholeheartedly, but I did find out I had to change myself not to attract this predicament again.
True.
And that's where the counseling comes in.
Yes.
I've had to find positive affirmations, positive attitudes, and new healthy behaviors that were more mature and responsible.
And also a lifestyle change is also very effective. If a person thinks that they're just out there all by themselves and there's no hope in their life, there's no spiritual element, it also can play a very, very big part if they get that, because they know that that spiritual element is there with them and it's strong and they can withstand through the storm.
I'm so glad you said that. I found prayer and meditation was the absolute essential for integrating the inner person inside so that I no longer was that small child. It was so easily intimidated, and I could finally find the love, that unconditional love of God, to push out. It says in the Bible, perfect love casteth out all fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's been going on in my life today. That change is, to me, the new lifestyle.
Yeah, there's a book that I've written called The True Beauty from Within. It's an inspirational self-esteem builder that tells how the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out to be the wonderful, successful people God intended for us to be.
Well, I think when people start believing and realizing that as God's children, we already have that wonderful self-esteem, we already have the tools we need, but the problem is we have been so subdued from being able to apply it in our lives.
Yeah, it's like we lose the key to unlock the door to the special treasures that He has already given to us.
Well, I agree the roots of this disease are deeper than just behavior, and that's what we're talking about right now. I think that people need to understand that, yes, you do have to change behaviors, but there's also the motivating factor of what caused us that behavior in the beginning.
Yes.
And it's the motive behind the motive so often that we have to look
at. Oftentimes, because you have to remember, abuse is in layers.
Yes.
And sometimes those layers run 7 deep, 8 deep. And to uncover all of them takes some time.
One of the things that I found was really helpful for me was to start to love, send out love and prayers and forgiveness for the other person. I did not know that that would break the chain of the possession that was going on. We were like the Bobbsey twins or the umbilical cord together. It was an enmeshment problem completely. And to break that off and say that that person is ill, that person has a disease, and
yeah.
I can be a separate person from it, when I do the forgiveness work, I can walk away and feel good. I don't have to feel guilty or in pain anymore.
That's right.
And
yeah, you know, it's so true.
Well, it was not the thing I necessarily wanted to do, to pray for his health, happiness, and welfare, you know,
his
betterment. But, you know, I found out what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
And when I started asking for that for him, I was getting it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best thing I could have ever done. This hour has gone so fast. I can't believe how quickly we have not had a chance to cover everything. I want to thank Dr. Moore so much for being here today to bring this enlightenment about this disease of addiction to our audience. And I know the listeners were just as intrigued as I have been about this program today. Tune in next Wednesday for another exciting talk on Solutions with Marilyn. And if you wish to reach me for the tapes I talked about, intuitive readings, counseling, or to make a contribution for this program, call 253-845-4907. And we are so glad you were here, Dr. Moore, with us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Marilyn, for being who you are and having this show for everyone to enjoy and learn from.
I hope that recovery and getting into wholeness and wellness is on everybody's minds today instead of the problem. Thank you, and have a wonderful day out there, and tune in next Wednesday again. We'll be listening for you. But hang in there. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Marilyn Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Maryland Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Marilyn Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Marilyn Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.